I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
He is the great Brian Scalabrine, Radio.com Sports Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Find the high impact hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high impact. Scal, what's popping, man? Appreciate the time.
Yeah, it's good. What do you think about the finals, man? Like, LeBron, still dominant. He's been dominant for like 15 years. How is this possible?
I would say he is a high impact hire. I would definitely say.
Are you separating everyone in life as high impact hire or low impact hire?
Exactly. Yes, I'm gonna put him in the category of a high impact hire by the Lakers. There's a lot to get to on the finals, but I do want to start with LeBron. He is awesome. Is there anybody out here that doesn't think that? Because if you go by what he said, he must believe nobody thinks he is awesome, because he's talking about getting respect.
Yeah, well, he has 37 million Twitter followers, and there's 100,000 people that, like, you know, throw shade. And, you know, like, in today's day and age, we don't focus on the positive, the people that, you know, bow down and faint every time they meet you. We focus on the few that are like, you're not as good as Kobe.
So true.
You're not as good as Mike. He's all locked in. But listen, whatever motivates you, like, did you guys see The Last Dance and you saw Jordan?
Right.
Jordan came up with all kinds of different ways to be motivated. And it's, like, I don't know. The problem is, in our minds, LeBron has matured as a man, as a player, and then he says that. You're like, wait a minute. Like, you've matured so many different ways as a basketball player. You've grown up. You've accomplished so much. We expect you to also, like, not be caught up with the people, like, the small percentage, the 1%, the 5%, whatever it is, that happen to not think you're better than Michael Jordan, and all of a sudden now, like, those are the haters, or those are the people that don't give you your respect.
But we agree he wants it, right, Scott? We agree he wants to be
100%.
Okay.
So he wants to be the GOAT.
So with that said, is that something you can only admire, that, right? For as many that want to hate on him and all that, and this chasing of the ghost and give me my respect, I guess if we're going to say it's all motivation and you want to be at the best at your craft, you can't roll your eyes at it, right? It ultimately, you've got to admire it, don't you? Even though he may never, you know, chasing that, he may never feel totally fulfilled, Scal, because I don't know if he can get there.
Yeah, so. I mean, those are impossible things to ever. We'll never come up with this answer. Now, his numbers are GOAT-like. His performances, his longevity, he's a GOAT. If his balance of scoring and making other people around him, he's the goal. But I don't know, man. Like, if you, it's a catch-22.
It is.
Says that comment, it makes me think you're never going to beat Michael Jordan. Like, in that, like, if you ever played against this man, you would lose from comments like that. Like, that's not the way Jordan was wired. So in the sense, like, you know, stuff that he does, like, I don't know if Jordan was like that. It's a very different era. I don't know if Jordan was trying to be the greatest player ever, or he was just like, man, I'm starting to stack as many titles. Or maybe he doesn't even think of it like that. Maybe he's trying to win every possession he's on the floor, mm-hmm. not taking games off. Whatever the reason, like, it just felt different with Jordan. And are you guys surprised that the Los Angeles Lakers, the city of Los Angeles, only 5.3 million people watched the NBA Finals? That is shocking to me. Mm-hmm. I would assume it's the NBA Finals. It's LeBron James. It's Los Angeles. It's not Denver versus Miami here. We're talking about Los Angeles. How can there only be 5.3 million people watching the NBA Finals?
How much of that's just time of year and people thinking it's a foregone conclusion?
I think that's exactly what it was. Like you notice, like people now in the fall, they want to watch football.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different for me because I'm a basketball guy,
of
right?
Of course.
Like if there was, I would pass up on a regular season great matchup to watch the Super Bowl. Like I'm going to watch the Super Bowl. It's the NBA Finals, you know. It's not right. Like it's another good game or a regular season game. It's the NBA Finals. I was just surprised that people weren't watching.
How much does the era they played in? How much is it a factor to you, Scal? Because I'm with you on this. It's Jordan for me. But how much in the fact that Jordan, it was so much more physical, how much does that play into the conversation? How much should it play into the conversation, if at all?
You know, the way I look at things is, I look at how much better you are than the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I only look at the gap, right? So, like, LeBron is how many more times better than, let's say, is it Kawhi Leonard this year, Giannis this year? You know, like, where's the gap at?
Right.
Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to watch him play against Kawhi Leonard or Giannis, for that matter, right? And at times, like, Jimmy Butler was, like, the best player on the floor during this final at times.
Agreed.
But it's so when Jordan played, you know, it was no question. It was whether it was Barkley or Clyde or Karl Malone or John Stockton, it didn't matter who it was that he was playing against. You knew that man right there was the best player on the floor. He was the most dominant guy. And, you know, they've always talked about how he could have won the MVP every single year. They just get Jordan fatigue and they wanted to give it to somebody else, which all it did is fuel the fire of Jordan. So, I look back in eras, like, you know, there's Bird and Magic and you know, both those guys. I mean, I think you go with Magic because of more longevity. Bird was hurt a lot more, but you know, there was a time there where Larry Bird was much better than Magic. So it's all about your peers. How much better are you than your next best player? And still in this day and age, LeBron has been the number one or number two player for the last 15 years, which is impressive.
We are, of course, talking to Brian Scalabrine, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. Joins us here on the show. Insider Calls brought to you by Indeed. Find the high impact hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high impact. Scott, I want to get into game five and the end of game five, even though we know what happened and the Lakers obviously took care of business. But I do want to get your sort of basketball opinion on this. People were not everybody. So let me just back up there. But there were some people. I'm assuming these people are uneducated, but whatever. Some people were holding the fact that LeBron dished the ball to a wide-open Danny Green for the game winner rather than rising up and taking a contested triple-teamed mid-range jumper. They were holding that against him. Like, that was evidence that he's not the best to ever do it because he threw it to a guy that was on the bench and wasn't having a good game, and he left the game in his hands rather than taking it into his own. What did you think about that? I mean, and just your analysis of the play and everything that happened.
I mean, if you look at the play, he had all five Miami Heat guys like at the restricted area or below. The only thing that if I wanted to be critical of anything on that play, how did he, like, normally LeBron delivers the ball in a guy's shooting pocket 99 out of 100 times. It is unreal how he could deliver the most impossible passes right on time, right on target, typically seamed up. The only thing that saying is I can't believe that LeBron didn't throw that pass right into Danny Green's shooting pocket, but the play he made was the right play. I'm a big right play type of guy.
Yep.
You know, like that's, and I think that's what makes LeBron great. That's part of his greatness is his ability to make the right play. It's just, if you just watch the LA Lakers throughout this bubble, it's no comparison to the amount of great shots that those guys got. Just if you just picture Caldwell Pope wide open, you picture Caruso wide open, Danny Green wide open, Anthony Davis wide. Like, LeBron makes everyone around that team so much better than what they are. And in the NBA, for you guys for reference point, if you get a half a second more time to shoot, you're going to shoot a higher percentage than not. And then there's a snowball effect too. You make an open shot, you get another one, you knock it down. Now, what does that do to the defense? What does that do to your confidence? There's a lot that goes into that, but LeBron is making that happen. I'll give you an example. When I was in New Jersey, I played with Jason Kidd, and it was remarkable how easy he made the game. I don't make it to the NBA. I don't have Allen pals, or I'm not an insider if Jason Kidd was delivering those balls on time, teamed up for me to shoot. And that the confidence that I built from having the perfect passes from him just added up. And I was a much better player than what I showed because of him. And I think LeBron does that with his guys. So I'm not going to argue him for not, you know, like giving that ball to Danny Green. Danny Green is well accomplished. The only thing I would say is, like, I am just shocked that he didn't deliver that ball perfect, right on time, on target.
Betting odds say they're the favorite for next season. Are they now? You had the Clippers. I had the Clippers. Are the Lakers your favorite for next season? Is a deal where you got to beat the champ, or when you talk about Golden State getting healthy, Nets, would you look somewhere else in terms of your favorite next year?
Yeah, I feel like I'd take the field over the Lakers, and that could just be me being like kind of like a. Listen, the Lakers just won their 17th championship. Boston has 17 championships. You guys know I cover the Boston Celtics when I'm up here in Boston. So I do bleed green and all that stuff. But, you know, I feel like it's really hard to repeat. It is. It's really – your team has to be so far superior to everybody else. Mm-hmm. And as of right now, I think the bubble came into play here. I don't look at this championship as an asterisk, but – I almost look at it like you can't take anything we've learned from this and move forward.
Right, agreed.
And carry it forward to next year. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think it's going to be like the Miami Heat. They might not. I think they were great. I love watching them play. But to go in, if you were going to go into Pfizer and beat Milwaukee without home court advantage, maybe. I think I would have picked them still. I picked Miami to beat Milwaukee. But then you're going to come into the Boston Garden and beat the Celtics in home court without having home court advantage. So I don't know if all that stuff is going to play out. So I think that I will take the field, but the Lakers do seem to be the favorite.
You know, you mentioned Miami and taking things away from this bubble. Historically, you go through teams that get to a championship but fall short. And this can go, you know, for all sports, NFL, NBA, whatever. It can be hard. It can be hard to get back unless you, for example, have LeBron James on your team. Do you think Miami sniffs another finals appearance? I mean, granted, I mean, I don't say that to be derogatory. I mean, what Jimmy Butler did was nothing short of remarkable. And I have a new respect for him as a result of carrying these young guys and sort of ragtag-ish group of guys to the finals. But, I mean, do you think there's a way back for them?
Yeah, so Goran Dragic has to return. Tyler Hero. Like, so here's how it works, right? When the deeper you go in the playoffs, the more you can't have weaknesses. And we saw this. Like Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, those guys are like Tyler Hero a little bit has more, you know, stuff in his bag than Duncan Robinson. But you could take that stuff away. Like historically speaking, a guy like Kyle Korver has struggled in the playoffs because they just take away his shooting. But it's just to be at the highest level, unless you have, like you mentioned, you have LeBron on the team, you have to be good in all areas. That's the only way to beat LeBron is to have five guys that can all shoot, pass, put the ball on the floor, and defend. And when you have that, you could beat that team. But if you don't, now you're kind of dancing around, you know, the elephant in the room, which, like, you saw it at times, like Duncan Robinson trying to run away from LeBron so he didn't have to guard him. LeBron's going to pick you apart if you eventually do that. And I think, like, good teams will do that. But I do think they have a chance. Like, if Goran Dragic was healthy and Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson get better and get physically stronger, quicker, more athletic, defend better, which I think they will. Those guys are going to be on a track in the Miami Heat sun they're going to start training now, and they'll be training all the way up until the season starts, whenever that happens. And those guys will be ready. They'll be in shape. So they definitely have a chance. Milwaukee, you know, I'm not sold on them. Boston, they have to address some issues as far as like how good they could be at the rim when making the right plays. And Toronto, those guys are eventually going to get old and the wear and tear is going to catch up to them. So they could make it, but as far as like being that upper echelon, it's hard to have weaknesses. They had some weaknesses, and that's probably why they struggled so much in the finals.
Can Doc take that Philly roster and turn it into a team that's up there with your Celtics, the Bucks, and Nets in terms of one of the best teams in the East? Is it going to take trading one of those guys? What do you think happens there, Scal?
No, he'll keep those guys. And so the problem with Philly is So Ben Simmons, it's like this is a lot of people confuse these two things. Great passers aren't necessarily great point guards. Like, Ben Simmons is not a great game manager, and neither was Brett Brown. Like, both those guys, they don't know, they didn't call a great game, but Doc Rivers does. I played for Doc, and he's going to coach his butt off, and he's really going to coach his butt off on the offensive end, like mixing up coverages, calls, different matchups to go to. So I think he'll teach Ben Simmons a lot. So they have a chance, but I think they just have to get mentally tougher if you're going to win. And I think their roster, this is the lack of shooting. Now, Buddy Hield and Al Horford, there's been some talk of those two maybe getting traded for one another. It would be. I think Doc does need a shooter. He probably needs multiple shooters to make this thing go. We'll see if they get that. If they don't get that, then I don't put them at a championship level.
Scott, how excited do you think everybody in the bubble was to get home? I mean, I know the Heat were probably bummed to lose it. They're like, all right, we got to get the hell out of here.
You know, I don't know how. I would only be speculating. You know, it's easy for me to sit here and say, yeah, it sounds like it. But, you know, I think everyone's different. I think the Miami Heat embraced the bubble. I think the Lakers embraced the bubble to a certain. I think the other teams did not. And I think that's the reason why they exited. And it's not easy. I'm like 90 days of being away from your family and all that stuff. It's not easy. But I do think. You know, I think as a job, you just do what you're supposed to do. You do what you have to do. And it's not like NBA players in the bubble are the only ones out there making sacrifices.
Right.
We all know 20 people that have a tough job and they have to do tough things for their families and stuff like that. So, you know, I know that a lot of guys are like, man, I'm done with this bubble and everything like that. But I really commend the way that Miami and L.A. approached it. You didn't hear them whining about it. You heard those guys like, we're here on a mission. And I commend those guys for that, because it's the easy way out to make excuses about missing people and all that. Sometimes people make excuses when their play is not well, you know, they're not playing up to their standards, and they say things like, well, I really miss my family. Well, do you, or you just wish you played better?
Yeah. In terms of when we see these guys again, in terms of when the 2020-2021 season begins, I'm going to set the over-under at January 15th. For the start.
Is that MLK Day? Is that MLK Day?
Is it? I don't know. That's interesting, though. Maybe they
could. You have to tell me, because that's the day I think it will return. I think the Memphis Grizzlies will be opening up at noon on MLK Day.
January 18th. Wow. So you're calling
what
January 18th. Yeah. So that's you think that's the opener for the NBA. And that'd be actually a very
correct.
Nice touch.
I do, too. I think so, too. So I'm just like adding all the elements, right?
For sure.
I think so there'll be a noon start, MLK, and then there'll be a couple more games, and then they'll commence that with the Lakers getting their rings on that day. So that's how I see it. The one thing I don't know, half full, quarter full.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know about that. I'm not like, I don't know enough about this whole thing, but my guess is January 18th, and you guys get the first game.
Well, we'll take it. We'll take it.
All day long.
And I think
it'd be nice.
I'm leaning.
Maybe it'll be against Boston, and I'll come down to the show. We'll hang out.
There you go.
Show.
We'd love to have you.
We'll hold you to it. But and by the way, I'm going with half full for capacity, in terms of capacity, half full. I'll take January 18th, and I'll take half full on Martin Luther King Day. That would be special. Scal, man, we appreciate the time,
for these
as
hits,
always.
Brother.
You got it, guys. I'll talk to you.
Yep. He is Brian Scalabrini, Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. These calls are always brought to you by Indeed. Find the high impact. Hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high impact.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.